God's first.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
God is good.
All the time.
You got to trust Him.
Yes, sir.
Through the storms, through the trials.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we all have those things.
Oh, yes.
But God is faithful. He got you here today.
Amen.
He has been faithful to you since the day you were born.
Amen.
But now you realize it.
Come on now.
It's just so beautiful thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Woo-hoo!
He loves us before
yes.
we loved Him.
Amen. He loves you, oh Lord God.
Before we loved Him.
Yes.
He knew you in the womb, everybody.
Amen.
He knew you in the womb. Don't be embarrassed. He loves you.
Ooh, amen.
He knows everything you say, everything you do, and everywhere you go. And you've taken Him to places that He didn't want to be. He's heard things He didn't want to hear. He saw you do things He didn't want you to do.
Praise Jesus.
But He was right there with you. He never left you nor forsaken
you. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
We forsake Him.
Thank
but He still
Lord,
loves us. Thank God none of us are God because our patience would run out.
Oh.
But He is the God of patience.
Amen.
We'll talk about that today. Ready? Can you be, brother?
Yes! Yes, God! Woo!
You might not even see. You might be so blind with anything and fear and doubt and worry. Trust Him now.
Amen.
And He'll get you through this. But here's the lesson. After He's gotten you through this, after you pass through the storm, Don't forget. Don't ever forget. Amen. Remember, because we forget all the blessings. We forget all the prayers answered. But when you're in the darkness and you feel lost and He carries you through to the light, never forget.
Yes, sir.
Never forget, because He is with us. And this is the greatest victory. Your greatest victories are that close when you feel that way. You all stand with us.
Yes,
I'll ask my bride to sit, but you all stand and we'll sing Amazing Grace this morning. Because it's His grace that carries us through. His glory that carries us through. His mercy.
She's lifted here.
Give Him thanks. Just love Him. Just be in that praise for Him. Let's stay right there. He carried you through to this minute. Just spend time with Him this morning. We have a whole day of God ahead of us. We have the message, and we have the Bible study, and we have all the things that we share together in this house. We have a lot of Jesus today.
Yes, amen.
I don't know the meals that you've eaten all week. I know we have a lot of good cooks in this church. I know we have people that know how to make all kinds of wonderful things. I don't know what you ate all week long on Monday and Tuesday, what you had for breakfast, what you had for lunch, but I would simply ask you, how much did you enjoy Jesus and His book? How much time did you spend being fed from His book? Did you spend 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day just being fed from His book? One page. I've asked and prayed that you would read one page a week, one page a day, be fed by His book. He said His book is food. His book is water. You've eaten so many meals this week. How many meals have you eaten with Him, with His word?
Yes, Lord.
Give Him praise, church.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Brian.
Here, there.
Need help?
Good. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
No, just, you know,
why are you calling him?
Because he gave you.
Yes, he did.
He did this to me.
He gave you me a long time ago.
Thank you, Lord.
It's God. It's God.
Thank you, God. You've eaten, you all had breakfast, you had lunch every day, you had dinner every day. But how much time did you spend in His Word where He could feed you every day? Did you read one page this week a day? Did you read two pages? He can speak to you through this book.
Yes.
He speaks to each and every one of us individually. He speaks to me and as I read His book, but He wants to speak to you. And the only way He can speak to you is if you open these pages and let Him.
Amen.
Let Him fill you with something other than somebody else or something else. I don't know how much time you fed with Him and you ate with Him and you drank with Him.
Yes.
But His Word is alive and His Word is written for you. Thank
Amen.
You. Our Father,
Amen.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated and enjoy each other this morning. Welcome to church. It didn't snow this week.
Amen.
On Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Everywhere I went, I say, whoever praying for snow, please stop. Thank you. How you doing, Miss Marilyn?
Yeah.
Praying for you, you know. Praying for you every minute. We love you. Thank you. Responsive reading. Thank you, Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Your loving kindness, according to the multitude of Your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin.
Yes, Lord. For I acknowledge my transgressions. I admit them, Lord. And my sin is always before me.
Purge me with Christ, and I shall be clean. Wash my hands, and I shall be
white. Hallelujah. Where else can you get this, church? He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's our God.
Amen.
He died on the cross for us. If somebody said Jesus isn't the only way, I'd say fine. Whatever way you're walking. But what did anybody else do for us that He did for us? Jesus said, I am the way. He died on the cross for us. He shed His blood for us. Our salvation is because of what He did on that cross. I don't know anybody else that made that kind of sacrifice. I don't know anybody else that can promise us because He is the Son of God. And He promised these beautiful things. Amen?
Amen.
This is our God that we love and we serve and we worship. And we humble ourselves in front of Him. And we bow our knees in front of Him. But we also sit next to Him. And we talk to Him. And we take His hand. He allows us to be that close to Him. Amen?
Amen.
He allowed John to lay his head on His bosom. He allowed John to sit right there and lay his head. John was the only one that wanted to, evidently, because nobody else did. But I just see John and I see Jesus and I see Him together. And that's what He wants for us. That's what He wants for us. Praise God. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank Marilyn for the responsive reading. Thank you, Marilyn. We are a family in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I like that. For those of you that don't recognize, that's Deacon Bill in the back. Hi, Deacon Bill. When I say you don't recognize him because he's got a beard. And he told me this morning, this is the first time in his life that he ever grew up. But I recognized him right away. He didn't fool me. You look good, Bill. You're looking good. He's styling back there, ladies. Hallelujah. What a beautiful one. What title is given to Jesus in Acts? The third chapter of Acts. Don't look now. Don't be cheap. What title is given to Jesus in the book of Acts? The Lord, the Holy One, or the Messiah? According to Acts 3:14, don't look. Don't use your phone now. What title is given to Jesus in Acts 3:14? The Lord? Anybody want to say the Lord? How about the Holy One? Anybody the Holy One? How about the Messiah? We get the Messiah? The Messiah? That's wrong. It's the Holy One. He is called the Holy One. I love that. I love that, right? According to Isaiah, the Lord's house shall be called what? Heaven, a house of prayer, or holy? According to Isaiah, the Lord's house shall be called what? Heaven? Anybody want to say heaven? How about the house of prayer? House of prayer, anybody? How about holy? Holy? How about holy? Now, I always say, I say this a lot, this is holy ground, amen?
Amen.
We are standing on holy ground. In the world, when I say the world, and I'm going to preach this, the world, I just mean unbelievers, amen? The world is outside. Unbelievers are outside. But this shall be called the house of prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
This is
the
house of prayer, according to Isaiah. It is certainly holy, and it is holy ground because we're talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But according to Isaiah, this place is a house of prayer.
Amen.
It's a good place to come and pray. It really is. He's given you all these hints. Thank you, Lord. What specific type of bird could be brought as a burnt offering by somebody who's poor, somebody who didn't have a lot of money, wasn't wealthy? What specific type of bird could be brought if you're going to do a burnt offering, you're going to offer it by someone who is poor? A chicken? A sparrow or a turtle dove? What specific type of bird could you bring it as a burnt offering by somebody poor? A chicken or a duck? Anybody? Chicken or nobody? A chicken or duck? Sparrows and ravens? Anybody? Sparrows and ravens? Sparrows and ravens? How about turtle doves and pigeons? Turtle doves and pigeons it is. Don't bring a sparrow, it don't count. Yeah, but you could, if you were poor and you didn't have money for some of the other, they allowed you to bring a turtle dove or a pigeon. I don't know what a turtle dove ever did to anybody that you'd want to sacrifice, but God said that's acceptable. Thank you, Lord. Okay, one of my favorite stories is David and Goliath. Hey, remember David and Goliath?
Uh-huh.
How many stones did he take?
Three.
He took five stones. Remember, he took five. And the Bible said smooth stones. But I want to ask you this morning. David took those five stones, and he was going to put them in his little bolo and to get Goliath. But did he take them out of a river, out of a stream, or out of a brook? Yeah, see, you've got to know your scripture now. 1 Samuel, where did David choose the five smooth stones? In a river? He got them out of anybody a river? How about a stream? Out of a stream, we got stream. How about a brook? We got them out of a brook. David, I didn't see your hand. You're not sure? He did, really. He got them out of a brook. And he said, well, why is that important? It's only important because you know the Word of God. You know the story. You can't tell anybody about Jesus unless you know the story. And I'm begging people in the world. I'm praying for people in the world. I'm watching TV saying, please stop talking about the Bible if you don't know what's in the Bible. Don't take a scripture out and think you're going to use it when you don't know what it means. Well, you don't know what it said before and after. I beg people. But the only way for us to be able to do that is you have to know the Word of God. The only way that you don't get fooled by a liar, get fooled by a false prophet, is that you know the Word of God. You know why? Because this never changes. Amen. This Bible confirms itself from the first page. That's how great it is. From the first page, I know you all know this, but I want to tell you again, so I know that you know that I know that you know.
Amen.
And that's the truth. And then you can't get fooled when somebody says there's more than two genders in the world. You can look at him and say, God created male and female. That's what he created. He created male and female. That's it. How hard is that? Unless you want to come up with, listen, God created this stuff out of nothing. He created man and woman. Every bird, every animal creates its own seed to the next. A tiger doesn't give birth to a lion. A tiger doesn't give birth to an elephant. A tiger doesn't give birth to a crocodile. He gives birth to a tiger. The seed, all the seeds match up. All the trees, all the flowers, all the seeds match up. We match up.
Amen.
He made it that simple. But somebody might tell you there's more than two genders. They say, okay, whatever you say. And then they'll tell you that it's in the Bible. I say, okay, I didn't see that one. Because it clearly states he made male and female.
Amen.
And then somebody said God is, what is it, non-binary? Did anybody hear that this week? God is not, and I'm telling you what I don't know what you were thinking, Jim, when if you heard it, but I'm thinking as a pastor. I'm thinking, I don't think as a pastor I want to tell anybody what God is.
Amen.
I wouldn't take that. I don't make enough money to tell you what God is. Somebody saying that God is something, I said, whoa. Because God is God. He created all this. I'm not going to, I can tell you that he's great, and I can tell you that he loves you, and I can tell you that he yearns for you to love him. But I can't tell you what God is. I don't have that. I don't care what school you go to. I don't care what theology you go to. I don't care what seminar you go to. I'm not going to tell you who God is and what God is. God created us this way. He knew you in the womb. He knew you before you were born. He knew what you were going to be. He knew who you were. Amen?
Amen.
And I heard that and I said, Lord, please, why are you making it so hard? He made male and female. He made Adam and Eve so that we would reproduce and that we would fill the world. And he made the birds and the animals with their own seed, it said, and so that they would fill the earth. And he made all the plants with all the seed. An orange tree does not grow tomatoes. There's a reason for that. That's how God created it. What's so hard about that? But see, people can be fooled because people said amen when he said that. People heard that because that's what they wanted to hear. The Bible said you, they're going to have itchy ears because they want to hear something that feels good to their feeling. They feel, I don't want to hurt my feelings. Whew. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry because I got so much for you all today. Good morning.
We got
a long day in God. We got a Bible study later. One of the greatest chapters in the Bible that we're going to study later. I think, and I never heard that said before, but the more I read it, the more I realized Acts, the 10th chapter, is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible for us Gentiles. Okay. Oh, sorry, Jim, I got carried away. I can't change you, folks. I learned something about that. That came to me more and more. I can't change you. I can only lead you. I can lead you down a path. I can lead you to a great truth. I can lead you to a great truth, a new hope, a desire to do better. I can lead you to a desire to be better. For you first, and then for those that you love most. See, the whole thing about coming to God is it doesn't just change you. It changes everybody around you. It should, for the better. We must always lead others to Christ. Now, here's the truth. When you talk about God to people, some people might run away. Anybody ever have that true? Some people will laugh at you. Anybody know that's true? Some people won't have any feelings at all either way, right? Yet sometimes someone will stop and listen. Someone who wants to hear more. That'll happen. Sometimes you may think that somebody will never, ever get it. They'll never get it. Again and again you've told them, etc., etc., etc. You have somebody that you've talked about God to 5 times, 7 times, 10 times, 12 times, and they never get it. You want them to get it, and they don't get it. That happens. Sometimes you might feel like you want to give up on them. Anybody want to say amen to that? Anybody want to say, I gave up on that person? Well, thank God you're not God. Thank God you're not God. But here's the thing. Can I tell you the thing? It was so easy for Jesus. I mean, come on. After all, he was who?
God.
He was Jesus, right? It was so easy for him. He wasn't David. Where did David go? He went outside. He wasn't David. He wasn't Chrissy. He wasn't Jim. He wasn't, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't Zippy, right? He was Jesus. It was so easy. There's David. Wasn't David. He didn't know. He was Jesus. He spoke and they listened. He taught them and they learned. It was so easy for Jesus. Everybody's laughing then, okay. They saw the miracles. I wish I could do miracles. They heard the Father's voice. Think about this. When they were with Jesus, they heard the Father's voice. It was so easy for him. He fed them every day. If only I could do miracles like Jesus. That would do it. That would be it. But they would come from miles around, but sadly, to see me and not God, not Jesus. If I use a gimmick to bring somebody into church, And they come in. That's how they're going to learn about God, with the gimmick. And somebody else later on has a shinier gimmick, a brighter. They're going to leave and follow that gimmick. That's what gimmicks do. That's what these little things that people are trying to do. It's not going to lead anybody to God. It's going to lead them there. And when somebody else says something they like better, they're going to go there with gimmicks. All them little things that just look shiny, that draw them away. See, I can't use a gimmick, and I can't do miracles. The Bible says, one of my favorite verses, the Bible says in Timothy, three beautiful words. The Bible tells me as a pastor, it tells you as people, when you're out there ministering, preach the word.
Amen.
It's good enough. Yes. This word doesn't need any help. It just want to explain it. You want to feel like you're part of it. But the word doesn't need us to change anything. Doesn't need our help. Because God gave us these words.
Thank you, Lord.
Be ready in and out of season. What does that mean? Even when you don't feel like it. Even when, however it is, whenever God opens a door, be ready to feed somebody. That's what, not a gimmick, not a trick, not lying to them, not making them feel good, but give them the truth. Because that's what changes their lives. So if I lead you to salvation, if I can lead you to read more like I'm trying to do every day, if I can lead you directly to Jesus Christ, if I do it that way, you will do it the same way with somebody else. If I've led you peacefully and calmly, and if I led you with a heart that you feel confident in, you will lead somebody the same way I've led you. If I tell you how beautiful God is, and I lead you to Jesus, and it works for you, you will lead somebody the same way to Him. Amen? You understand? You lead directly to Jesus Christ. You will do the same way with others, always. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I ask you this morning, is that not enough?
Amen.
If you told an unbeliever that, wouldn't that be enough? But it was easy for Jesus because he was Jesus. No, you know, it's just me. He got me. That, you know. It was so easy because I can't do the miracles. Peter, are you hearing this? It's easy for Jesus and nobody said anything, right? It was easy for Jesus and not me and David. Are you all paying attention to that? Because let me tell you, I don't have to tell you this. The message will tell you the rest. Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospels more than anyone else except Jesus. I don't know, do you all know that?
No.
Little fact about Peter. Jesus rebuked Peter more than any other disciple in the Bible.
Yeah.
Peter was the only one who dare rebuke Jesus. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And Peter confessed Jesus more boldly and accurately than any other disciple. Peter denied Jesus more forcefully and publicly. Jesus praised Peter more than anyone else in the Bible, in the New Testament. However, and I want you to feel this one, Jesus addressed Peter as Satan. Satan. Jesus called Peter Satan. Now you all think about that for a second. If Jesus was standing here, you'd all be loving on him, right? If Jesus was standing here, you'd be in awe of him. Can you imagine what Peter must have felt when Jesus called him Satan? See, we read the words and we think, blah, blah, blah. He called him Satan. Yeah, it was easy for Jesus, right? Because he spoke and they listened and he taught and they learned. If it wasn't easy for him, how is it supposed to be easy for me or anybody else preaching? Somebody say amen, you get it? I got to get you fired up, come on. If it wasn't easy for him, how can it be easy? That's why you got to get in the Word of God. That's why you got to get the foundation and get the desire for more of God. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, by the chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke openly. Do y'all get that, what he said? He said, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and to be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke it openly. Peter. It was so easy for Jesus. Peter said, let me talk to you. He said, that ain't going to happen to you. No, I can't let that happen to you. It'll Peter was nuts. He was. It's so easy for Jesus, right? Come here. We're not going to let that happen. Jesus stood up, looked at Peter, and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, I want you to hear that again. Get behind me, Satan. We use words all the time, and the words we use have no meaning. We think they have meaning, and they don't. We call people names. We say things. Jesus, at that moment, looked at him and called Peter Satan. He said, "You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man." Now, Peter may have had a sincere heart about it, and maybe, but it was tied to man's thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Peter all of a sudden was of the world, and God and Jesus was about God, about his Father. Yeah, it was easy for Jesus, right? I don't know. You see, what Peter said did not line up with the scriptures. If you knew the scriptures, and that's the only way that we must learn more, to not be deceived by people, not be fooled, not be tricked. And when you say fooled and tricked, I get it. But here's the something I don't want you to be. I don't want anybody to ever lose hope in God, because the world's going to tell you all kinds of things about God. Unbelievers are going to tell you all kinds of things about what's in the Bible and what's not in the Bible. You see, and the people get fooled and they get distracted and they get lost. Because all this, you just go back to God, the simplicity that is Christ. You go back, and if you know the word, then they can't fool you. They can't be false prophets, because you can look and say, "That's not scripture, that's wrong." And you just turn around and walk away. Amen.
Amen.
But then see, Peter just was Peter. Why did he do that? I'll tell you the one thing that I said, it wasn't in scripture, but what I think he did, his pride got ahead of him. He thought he was kind of special. He's walking with Jesus and he's being praised and he's doing all these things with all the other guys, John and Matthew. And Jesus says something like that, "Psst, come here. Never mind, come here. Let me tell you, that ain't going to happen." It was his pride. He got ahead of himself, amen. He lost his place with God. He's telling Jesus, "Oh, no, you're not going to have that happen." We do that a lot, church. You get ahead of God a lot of times. We do that a lot to God, telling him things that we're not going to do or we won't do or we can't do. We do. The world, and I said before, when I say the world, I just want you to know, and I mean unbelievers, they're mindful of the things of man. Isn't that right now, Jim? The world is mindful of the things of man, accepting sin. They say God will understand. They're never searching to understand. Notice that. They have their own ideas, and that's where they are. They never search to find the truth. They never search to want to know the truth. They accept sin. They are open-minded. Amen. They're open-minded to accept whatever. Well, if that makes you feel good, then I accept it. No, it doesn't work that way. They're mindful of the world instead of mindful of man. Here's what a Christian says. This is where you wake up every day. You say, "Lord, create me a clean heart." You wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, create me a clean heart." In other words, take care of my heart. Clean it, Lord. Remove all that other stuff. You say, you want to say, "Create in me a new heart." Every day, not remodel your old heart. That's so beautiful. Not remodel it, not change it, not mold. Create in me a new heart. Give me a new heart today, Lord, so I can walk closer to you, that I can be with you, that I can hear from you, that I would understand you. Create in, that's what a believer should pray every day. Say, "Lord, to see you, to know you." This is for every believer to wake up every day and say, "Lord, show me something new today. Let me draw closer to you." You see, he's never going to push himself on you. How many know that's true? He is never going to push himself on you. The Bible says you draw closer to God, and he will draw closer to you.
Amen.
You have to do the little thing. You have to do. You have to do.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
The Bible study later is going to be a lot about that. See, you have to, he's not going to do it for you. Forgive others and your sin. You have to do, give, and it shall be given. Press down. See, you have to do something. And it's the same thing as everything that you're reading. You have to do something. You say, "Lord, create me a new heart today." And don't carry the old one with you after. You know, you should say, "Lord, help me with my thought life." And you say, "Okay, you will, Lord, you want God to help you with your thought life? Open the book. Read a psalm. Read John. Read Peter. Read something. Open one. Read one page. If it doesn't matter to you, sometimes Jeff will tell me, if it doesn't matter to you when you're reading the Bible, turn the page. Find something. Find a page that matters to you today. Because then God can speak to you. It's that simple.
Amen.
It's not hard. We make it hard. We do all these things like Peter did. His pride got ahead of him. He wasn't thinking about God. He was thinking, I'm going to be special. I'm going to be the one to rebuke Jesus. It was easy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, in the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went to them. Walking on the sea. Brother Chuck, Deacon Chuck, you've been on a boat. Imagine somebody walking towards you on the water. Anybody ever been on a boat on Lake Candlewood or anywhere fishing? And you see, when you saw somebody walking on the water, what? Oh, I know. He knows where all the rocks are, right? That's the thing. Yeah, he knows where all the rocks are. I had a friend of mine. You all know Brother George Marsh. How many remember George Marsh? We used to go fly fishing years ago at the Housatonic with the fly rods. And we had our waders on and we'd be fly fishing out there and water up to our waist and fly fishing. And there was a friend of ours, Mike, who was a real tall guy. He was out in a little spot in a little run. And George came over to the shore and Mike said, come on out. I said, fish are moving, fish are rising. So George took two steps off the bank and went up to here. He didn't realize it. He didn't know. He just walked straight out. And see, Mike had to walk up and down on the riverbank in there. And he just went right up to here, and it was the funniest thing. Because he didn't. Sometimes you want to walk on water. Yeah? Now the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And what did they say? Hey, it's a ghost. Hey, it's a ghost, it's a spirit, look at this. And the Bible said they were afraid. That's honest, right?
Yeah.
Would you be afraid? I guess we all would, right? Well, all of a sudden they hear, be of good cheer. I love that. And then he said these three words that only God can say, I think. He said, it is I.
Amen.
What a beautiful thing. Be of good cheer. It is I. That means he can take care of it all. He said,
thank
it is
Lord.
I.
Yes.
Come
you.
To me. I can take care of it all.
Thank you, Lord.
So Peter, remember the one that rebuked you? He said, Lord, command me to come to you. Y'all been around people like Peter? I want you to understand, these disciples are real people like you and me. These disciples weren't mechanical. They were real people like you and me. Peter had arguments with Matthew. Had to have. Peter had arguments with Jane. Because people have arguments. They disagree on stuff. They don't seem like, I mean, so they did. Can you see the other disciples in the boat? Peter said, command me to come to you. And they said, oh God, not again. Man, what are we going to do with this guy? You got to think about that. You're saying, oh my God, it's Peter. Oh man, you're just too much. So Peter says, command me to come to you. Yeah, whatever. Thank God we're not caught. Do you know what Jesus said to him? Come, Peter. Peter said, I got this. Yeah. He began to walk on the water. Yeah. Peter started walking on the water. Yep. Uh-oh, here it comes. Little breeze in his face. Yeah. The wind. Then a little storm and then little waves. And then the rain started falling. Trials, tribulations. Anybody ever have them in your life? Trials and tribulations? Maybe the rain started falling. Maybe the wind started blowing, hit you in the face. Maybe you're walking with God. You got this. You've been a Christian 20 years, 40 years, 60 years. You've been real good with God and you're walking with God. I got this. All of a sudden that wind hits you in the face. Oops. Storm hits you. Oops. The waves start coming. Oops. Yep. The rain, the thunder, the trials. And I put it this, life started happening. Somebody say amen, you know what I'm saying? You're out there on the water walking with Jesus because you got this. You're a Christian. You've been a Christian all these things. And there you're walking on the water and all of a sudden life happens. What did Peter start doing? This guy that was walking on the water, I got this, and the other ones are watching. Say, hey, look at him. He's doing it. And all of a sudden, the wind, the Bible said the wind started coming. And down he goes. See you later, Peter. Here comes the wind, the storm, the rain, the trials, the tribulation. Here comes light. And Peter got afraid, just like we do. I know we all do, because it happens to us in our lives. The Bible said he began to sink. And what did he say? The same thing we say all the time. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He failed again. Now, before I tell you what Jesus did, I want you to come back with me again into the boat with the other disciples. They're watching him. And right, Jim, they're watching him. He's walking on the water. Next thing they know, they probably didn't want to watch. You think, oh, here we go again, Peter. Really? You got to see, when you're reading the Bible, it's a story. Every page, you see it as a story. It's so cool. Lord, save me. He failed again. Others saw it. There goes Peter again. There goes us again when we fail. There goes us again when we fall short. How many have fallen short? There go us again when we doubt, when we worry, when we say things we shouldn't, when we go places we shouldn't, when we do things that we should, things that would harm us. There we are again. Immediately, Jesus took his hand and he caught him. And then he said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" How many times has God said to you this week, "Why did you doubt?" How many times has God said to you this year, and it's only March, "Why did you doubt?" Ye of little faith. Because we think we're so smart, and we think we know the word, we're so close to God, yet we fall short daily. If everybody in the world, if every pastor, every preacher, every pope, every reverend would humble themselves before they start preaching and remember that they fall short every day, that I give you the word of God and I pray that I give it to you correctly and I pray that I give it to you that you receive it, but I stand here humbly singing, he's hearing me. He's listening to what I'm telling you, and I'm trying to feed through him to feed you. So if I miss it, you're going to miss it. If I tell you something that's not true, it's going to come out and you're going to receive it. And I don't want you to receive lies. I don't want you to receive doubt. I don't want you to receive worry. But I want you to see that God has always been with you. And he took yes, Peter and he just said, "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" How many times has he said that to you? But here's the most beautiful thing about God. He has never given up on you.
Thank you, Lord.
None of you. He has never. Just like that person you tried to lead to God over and over again and over, and they don't want to hear you, and they don't want to hear you, and you finally say, "I give up." And God's saying, "Why? Why did you give up?" Maybe it was the next time. Maybe it was one more. Maybe something happened at that person's life and that one last time, and he said, "Would you just come to church with me one Sunday?" And he said, "Oh, all right." Because I've seen it here. I've seen it happen here. I've seen what God can do here. Amen. My friend George Marsh, who had that hallelujah, thank you. Our brother George Marsh came to this church one time. He told me on the phone, "Okay, Larry, I'll come once, but I'm only going to come once." Well, he came once every Sunday.
Amen.
Every Sunday. Then he brought a girlfriend. He met a girlfriend and he brought her along. He brought a girlfriend with him every Sunday. You see, I didn't do anything. I didn't change them. I just led them. When they came here and they saw the love and they saw the fellowship and they saw the unity and they saw the peace and they saw somebody talking about Jesus, somehow it resonated with him. He came back again and came back again. And Miss Elaine, his girlfriend, came back with him. You see, God did that. I didn't do that. I just planted a seed. I just planted a seed. What we're all supposed to do.
Praise God.
But God never gave up on him. Here's the thing. You must call on God. He's not gonna push his way in. And you must accept him. You must ask of him. Because he will never push himself on you. Whenever, whoever, and this is so important, church, I want you to hear this because I believe this to be true. Whoever comes into this church must remove self and be ready to find God.
Amen.
This is His house.
Amen.
It's not my house.
Yes.
This is His house. If you walk through a door into a church, the first thing you have to understand is you're going into His house, not your house. It ain't your living room. It ain't your kitchen. You can't say whatever you want to say and be whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do. You're coming into His house. The first thing you do when you walk into a church is humble yourself. Say, it ain't about me. It's about Him.
Amen.
And listen. And listen and take it in. But you have to come in here wanting to find God, because this is His house. This is a house of prayer. So when you walk into a house of prayer, you're understanding you're not going to your friend's house. You're not going to the bar. You're not going to the casino. You're not going anywhere. You're going to His house now. You're going where His word is going to be preached, and you're going to do it His way, or else why would you come? Why would you go into a church if you're not going to do it His way? Why else would you want to be in a church? So I was kind of kidding before. I was kind of making to see if you can sarcasm. It wasn't easy for Jesus. And I want you all to get this, because as I put this message together, I got it. I never thought of it this way. I never thought of it this way. But it wasn't any easier for Jesus than it is for any one of us, and for any one of you talking to your friends and neighbors and your family. Family's tough. Oh, Lord, family's tough. But talking to your friends and neighbors, I want you to understand, Jesus could do all the things you said. He was God, right?
Amen.
But He still had all these guys walking with Him, falling over each other every day, arguing about the silliest things and doubting what He was telling, not understanding what He was, and He never gave up. It was not any easier for Jesus, but this is important. Through His patience, through His love, through His mercy, right? He raised great men up. Through all the things that He did and all the failures that you read about and all the things in your Bible, He raised 12 great men. And Judas, I guess, was sailing. He raised these men to do great things. They left their word for us. They did. This Peter became a force. He did. This Peter became a force for God. You can too. You say, wow, because nothing is impossible with God. You have to want it. That's all. Peter became humble. He became confident and obedient. He became a blessing for all of us. So thank God that Peter was like he was, because we've learned so many lessons from Peter. Because he failed like we fail, and he fell short like we fall short, yet he kept walking, he kept walking, he kept walking. And finally, one day, if you come to the Bible study, you'll understand, he got it. He became a great man in God. And then he told us who we are in God. We are to come to Him. The Bible says we are to come to Jesus as living stones. In other words, you're alive right now, and you're on fire for God, and you love God, and you want to love God more, so you become a living stone. When you walk into this church, you become a living stone built on the foundation. And who's the chief cornerstone? Jesus.
Amen.
Right? He said, to you who believe, He is precious. Understand what Peter said, to you who believe, Jesus is precious. I can only tell you from my heart, He's as precious to me as anything could be. I trust Him and I love Him and I want to search more, and I fall short and I have worries and I have doubts just like y'all do. Amen. I'm not perfect. I'm not even nothing to be perfect. I fall short and I am flesh just like you're all flesh. But I search for Him. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, give me strength. I do it every day. Because that's where I go for my joy. That's where I go for my comfort. That's where I go to be safe. He is precious. Peter said, we also as living stones, we are a spiritual house. Not just the church, but you're a spiritual house. You're in the temple of God. You've got God inside of you. So wherever you're walking around, you have a spiritual house inside of you. You have power inside of you you didn't know. You have the power of His word. You can lead somebody to salvation. You can save somebody's life today, forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, just tell them somebody stop smoking, stop drinking. No, you can lead them to salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Salvation. This is so important, and this goes if you come into the Bible study, but I just want to finish here. We are chosen by God and precious, all of us. And what once belonged only to the Israel nation, to the Hebrews, their election chosen, He chose them, and they have that, and they will have that, and they will always have that. But what they had now belongs to us too. Everyone called a Christian has that. We are now a holy nation. We are now His special people. Elaine, you're a special person to God. I know Al right there, he's a special person to God. We, that's who we are. We are God's people in God's house.
Amen.
That's who we are. Anybody who comes into this church is going to hear about God. Not open-mindedness, not just getting along. I don't want to get along. I want to bring you to God. I want God to move you. I want God to show you. I want you to search for that. But here's so important, church. I'm sorry, but I just love this. You don't need mediators to talk to God. You don't need to go to somebody else to talk to God. You don't need to find somebody who knows God better than you to talk to God. He wants you to talk to Him.
Amen.
And when you read His Word, He can talk really to you. He can feed you through that Word. Decide you had breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day this week. Find 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes to open them up before you go to bed, when you wake up, whatever. Turn off the phone for 5 minutes, you know, and just for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, spend time with Him. That's all. Say, what should I read? I said, I don't care what you read. Open. If it doesn't make sense to you what you're reading, turn the pages and find something. I always tell people, read John, you can read Peter, you can read James, you can read the Proverbs, you can read some of the Psalms. But I would just say, just read. Read about something and let Him feed you. Read a little bit. Don't read too much, because then your mind will get crazy if you get too much information. Just read a little bit. Just read it. You know, God, in the beginning, God created male and female. That's all you really need to know, right?
Amen.
What's so complicated? Make it simple, because Jesus said the simplicity that is Christ, and He is simple.
Mm.
So we are God's people in God's house. Give Him praise. That's all I need.
Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask for you to bless us today. Open our hearts with joy of the Holy Spirit so we can receive this bread of your covenant in your name, Jesus. And it was written, Jesus took bread, He blessed it and broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in honor of me. In Jesus' name we say, amen.
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 And in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 14:23, then Jesus, and He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and He said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Not everybody can sing who wants to sing.
Amen.
Not everybody can play the guitar who wants to play the guitar.
Right, that right.
Right? You just, God gives you all different gifts. Not everybody can cook who can cook.
Right.
Right? I tell you, I don't mean to be funny, I don't mean to make, but to me it's truth. I don't think one man in this world understands what it means to be a woman. I don't think there's one man in this world who understands what a woman goes through in her life. The things that they face in their life. My bride and I are watching, and I hear somebody say they feel like a woman. I said, you just don't have any idea. I wish there were machines and tools to make them feel well, woman. And it's not that it's better. It's just not. God created you to be who you are.
Amen.
That's all. What a woman goes through. My wife always said, she's always telling me about Mary. We read about Mary, and like I said, I always want you to vision it. I want you to see it. Mary had to watch what Jesus went through. Watch all that. Watch Him dragging the cross. Watch Him on the cross. I mean, the things that she had to see her son go through. Anyway, thank you, Lord. He loves you. He created you who you are. Make the best of it. Be the best that you can be so that others see you and that they are drawn to you. That's a beautiful thing. Men, be careful what you say to your wives. And I say this honestly. You know, I've heard men say they're supposed to be the head of the house. They said, don't take that job. Well, careful with that head of the house stuff, because if you're the head of the house, then that beautiful bride of yours must have everything required to be the woman of the house.
Amen.
In other words, you have to supply all her needs. And that's where it comes together. It all just comes together like that. So beautiful. Man and woman, right? Just hallelujah. He's good. Give him praise. I don't know. I just love it. Talk about God all day long if you're living. Any announcements? Say this. All right, let's take the offering. Everybody stand and take the offering. Amen and amen. The time for an offering where you give to God from all that He blessed you with this week. You say, Lord, thank you. I just want to give this. The Bible simply says to be a cheerful giver. So when you give to God, give just joyfully, just free, with a free heart. That's what He's looking for. Don't try to outgive Him. Don't try to impress Him. That's not about what giving is. The Bible says we need to give to receive. Give kindness to receive kindness. Give love to receive love. Give peace to receive peace. Give joy to receive the joy. See how beautiful it is and how it works like that. So when you come to church and you give the offering to your church, you're putting it into God's house. You're putting it into a bank where God sees you're giving for the ministry from where you're fed. Say, Lord, I want these lights on, Lord, and I want these doors open, Lord. And I want to be here on Sunday to hear the word of God, Lord. So I'm willing to draw closer to you and to love you and to search more for you, Lord. As I give this, Lord, feed me in Jesus' precious name. So thank you for this all, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I dare you to ask God that every morning. You can ask Him every night when you go to bed. Search me, God, and know my heart. Give me peace to sleep, Lord. Give me that touch, Lord, that surpasses all understanding. Test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. Whew. If that's a big one, if you want to ask me. See if there's any offensive way in me, Lord, and lead me into the way of everlasting. That's just asking, Lord, to clean you, give you a new heart, give you a clean heart, so that you can see better, so that you can hear better, so that you can be better to yourself. You got to be better to yourself before you can be better to someone else. You have to have peace in your heart before you can give peace. You have to have love in your heart before you can give that love. So get it from Jesus.
Yes,
and then
Lord.
Pass it.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And this morning, and may that be the peace that surpasses your own understanding. And then you'll know that you know that you know that God has touched you.
Yes,
Zippy,
Lord.
Would you ask God to bless the United States of America?
Yes, Lord.
Good. I gotta get up, man.
Plenty of room.
Yeah.
You did good.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her. Through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam.